He says, no, my church told me to. So if you tell the leaders what to do, they'll follow. Now, guys, listen, the whole dynamic of what is right and wrong is set forth in the Word of God. And we need to get in line with God, not make God get in line with us. The Bible says they're in the last days going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, not willing to endure sound doctrine. This passage, he says, I see in you the reality of God. He consoled them and now he challenges them. He says, you have worked and you have shown in verse 10. He says, you showed toward his name, this labor of love, you showed toward his name. And he challenges them in verse 11. He says, and we desire that every one of you show that same diligence unto the full assurance of hope. He says, what you have done is you have worked, you have interacted with God. And God has blessed you and you've come through some hard times. And I know there's some horizon issues you got to deal with. And yes, some of you might die. And he's going to talk about it. He says, some of you might have to shed blood. He says, but right now you need to calm yourself. He says, you need to collect yourself. You need to remember that you saw it. I've just told you about Melchizedek. I'll talk more about him in a minute. But you need to collect yourself. And you need to dig in with the same kind of diligence you had toward the saints. And you need to get yourself into the zone of full assurance of hope. Remember what we saw earlier in the book? He says, strive ye to labor ye therefore to enter into the rest God provided. He's saying you need to dig in now. You need to show the same diligence in verse 11 to the full assurance of hope unto the end. God says, listen, the only thing that's going to get you through whatever's on the horizon, however bad it may be, is to have full assurance of hope. And the words for full assurance of hope here, it's the idea of clothing yourself right down to your bare skin. It's like getting clothed all the way up to your neck, all the way down to your feet, fully clothed. You know what? Sometimes I think we hesitate to dig in and get to know God a little better because we're afraid we might not like the answer we get. But I'm telling you something. He leads beside the still water. Do you know what that means? That means that when a shepherd takes his sheep, they will not drink. They will die of thirst before they would drink from a babbling brook. And God understands your skittishness. He understands your nervousness. But if you will just trust Him, which is what it's all about, isn't it? Trusting Him. He says, if you will just trust Him, He will lead you beside still waters. You'll find a drink. You'll find the refreshment. You'll find what you need. And you will get so secure in your Christian faith and in your assurance that one day you're going to be in heaven one day, that when you come down to the end of your life to die, even if it's by beheading, and many people have sealed their testimonies with beheading, being burned at the stake, drugged to death, beaten to death, stoned to death, even if it's that, you're going to know that God will show up. And you know how He does that? You know how we know that? Because the more we read, the more we see it happens all the time. Whether it's three Hebrew children being cast into a fiery furnace and God showing up because they were testifying to His name, or Stephen standing there testifying, looking like an angel before them, and they're stoning Him, and He opens His eyes even though stones are hitting Him. He says, there's Jesus, right? Right there! And He says that's what is going to happen. Now, guys, listen. If we get our minds around who Jesus is, when that day comes, just like Billy Graham's mama when she went to die, she says, I see Jesus. And then she fell back to her bed and she was gone. She saw Him right before she left. I want to live in that neighborhood, don't you? I want to live in that neighborhood. He says, we need the full assurance of hope. And He says, you need to give diligence to get there because it's something that's elusive because we are flesh. We are skittish. We do have a little difficulty in our core in believing what we can't see. But He's given you a whole lot for your grist, your mill, your faith. And so He challenges them to dig in. He says, do not be slothful in verse 11 or verse 12. He says that you be not slothful, but be imitators, followers, imitators, mimics. Mimetai is the Greek word. Followers of them that through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says you need to kind of follow people who did it right. Get what they did and do that. And then He gives us Exhibit A, Abraham. And what did Abraham do? The Bible says in verse 13, God made a promise to Abraham. And because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He gave a promise and then he swore. So he promised and swore. He gave a double affirmation, which he didn't have to because he's God. He says in verse 14, surely blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply. And look at this and underline this if you will, because this is what you're supposed to mimic. Verse 15. So after he had patiently endured, and that's what he's calling us to, there are going to be times when you're not going to know your way, but you just keep going. He said, you keep walking this direction and it'll be okay. He says, after he faithfully endured, and we're talking decades of enduring and not knowing whether God was ever going to give him a son or not, and he's already past the age of childbearing, or his wife is, and here he is, a man thinking, well, my wife's done. He said it would be, but, you know, God said it. And the Bible says he even went and did his own thing a couple times with Hagar and Ishmael. He put Ishmael in there, and he tried to take his other son, or his nephew, and put him in there. He says, oh, let him stand before you. No. He says he endured. And the Bible says after he endured, what happened? He received the promise. Now, there are times when you're going to say, I don't feel anything. Fine. It's okay if you're still believing. Endure. You hang in there. Because there will be a moment when the clouds will pass. You know what? We live in a day, and we've talked about it before, where we're not supposed to be sad. We're not supposed to be gloomy. And if there's something wrong with you, it's because if you're sad, it's because something's wrong with you. It's not true, folks. Listen. Sometimes God turns out the lights. Did you know that? Sometimes God turns out the lights. And he doesn't show up to see if you really believe him. Remember David? The Bible says God brought a test to David and he numbered the people. Sometimes God puts you in the crucible to see whether you'll stand on your own two feet. Look at the book of Job. The oldest book of the Bible. I almost said that with a lisp. The oldest book of the Bible. The very first book before the Moses five books. He writes about how God turned the lights out and let the devil at him. And he endured. And in the end, he got double everything he had before. Because he said, no, I believe God. And though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Guys, God wants us to labor, to strive, to be intense, to be diligent. What? To get to the place where we have a full assurance of hope. Anybody want to talk about eternal security? It's very funny that this passage is used for making people think they can lose their salvation. When in fact what he's saying is, I want you to get to the place of full assurance of hope. The Bible says that Abraham received and obtained the promises, verse 16, for men swear by the greater, and an oath is an end of the all strife for them. And God willing, under verse 17, God willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise, and that's you and me, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things, that it was impossible for God to lie, and he made the promise and swore by, made an oath by himself. He says that we might have strong consolation. He wants you to realize he's giving you strong consolation. And he goes on to say, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Do you know what our hope is? Our hope is that this is not all there is. You know, the older I'm getting, the more I'm so glad that's true. You start getting a few gray hairs and you start getting a few kids launching out and you start realizing how quiet things can be and you realize there's really nothing that satisfies or settles or excites because the only thing that's enduring is the fact that this isn't all there is. We're walking through a cloud. We're struggling in the day-to-day just to make sense of what we deal with here on earth. And he says, we fled for refuge because we know we're going to have to die one day. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die in chapter 9 of this very book. And after this, the judgment. We need the full assurance of hope that on the other side it's going to be good. And godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. The Bible says in verse 18, he says that we're supposed to be endeavoring and laying hold of a hope that is set before us. Which hope? This is a beautiful picture. Yeah, these are precious words in verse 19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. You need an anchor for the soul when you run to the hospital with your heart flipping out. You need an anchor for the soul when mama's on the stretcher. My boys came in this morning in Sunday school. Mom went to the hospital last night. I said, that must have freaked you out. We didn't know it till later because it was late into the night, 1 a.m. Tracy Wilson going up for some gallbladder problem. Didn't know what it was, was scared. And they were an ambulance taker. How you feel when Mom is in the hospital, when Daddy gets the call, when somebody's down, I'm telling you something, you need the anchor of hope. It's a pretty amazing thing to have that anchor. But if you don't have the anchor, what do you got? Man, I don't know how people do it. They just kind of come unglued, I would think. The Bible says we have an anchor for our soul. And it says both sure and steadfast. He's heaping on the superlatives. And he says, and which entereth into the veil, which entereth into that within the veil. And what that's saying is that it goes right into the real temple. Not the temple down here, which, of course, when Jesus died, he rent the veil of the temple from top to bottom. You remember that, right? Or an earthquake happened. God says the way is open. He says, no, our hope goes right inside heaven. Our hope goes right in behind the real heavens, well, after which the earthly ones were patterned. And he says, not only does our hope go in there, it says it goes in there where the forerunner is entered for us. A forerunner was a little ship that took the big ships into harbor. So he's saying that we have a hope sure and steadfast because we've cast our hope on Jesus, our forerunner, and he died, he was buried, he rose again, and then he ascended and we saw him and a cloud caught him out of his sight. And if you know about the cloud, it's probably his canopy. That's the one that God rides upon. He went back up on his throne and sat back down. And then we one day are going to get to go with him because he's our forerunner. He takes our hope with him. We put our hope in him. He draws us on through. And he draws us on into harbor. And the Bible says our forerunner has entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now he said, Melchizedek is who you want to know. But you're not ready for that. Let me tell you, we got a great thing going here. He says, and he's after the order of Melchizedek. And all the way we've gone, he chastened them. And then he consoled them. That it's impossible for you to have to go back to the beginning. You clearly have the Holy Spirit in your lives. And then he challenges them, dig in and get the full assurance of hope. Because the hope that you have to have is one that will be an anchor for your soul. If you don't have that anchor, then you will be unstable all of your way to heaven. And a lot of people, I'm afraid, do stumble on the journey to heaven, don't they? They live as if, well, I'm in or I'm out. I'm not sure. Listen, if you really knew who you were and what God has done for you and how He has put you in a position of absolute acceptance and given you grace that is greater than all of your sin, if you could just look that in the eye and stare at it long and really let the implications give you aha moments over and over, wow, it would revolutionize how we live in the day-to-day. And that's what God wants. You see, we are transformed into that same image as we behold through a glass darkly. And you need to be beholding. Because otherwise, you're going to be one of those people who, when the going gets tough and the devil says, boo, you're going to want to lay down. You're going to want to fold. You're going to want to go the other way. Oh, I never knew the man, Peter said by the fire at that night, didn't he? I never knew him. And then he cursed. Beloved, I never knew him, he said. We don't want to be in that neighborhood. And the Bible says you got a whole lot of time right now to get ready for the hard times. So use your time well. Show the same diligence unto the full assurance of hope. Would you bow with me for a moment?